Since we are in the Christmas season, I would like to speak about the nativity story. We know that Mary and Joseph had to make a trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the purpose of a census that was being taken. The trip was very long. The trip that was very long and difficult was followed by a rejection at the inn, as we know. We will face difficulties on our path in life, but we want to remain faithful to the Lord and accept His will for our lives. You can turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 to 7. Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7. Give you a moment to get there. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabitants of the earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. We'll stop over there. The trip through the Judean desert was very difficult. Mothers would understand what it was like to be 9 months pregnant, about to deliver a baby, and to be riding on a donkey in this condition. Wow. She must have been very uncomfortable. She must have had contractions while having a rough ride on the donkey. Had to be really, really uncomfortable and probably scary too. Joseph had to walk the distance, probably wearing sandals. Now, I'm sure he didn't get on the donkey. He let Mary on the donkey. Being in that condition, he had to walk. His feet must have been very sore, and his legs must have been very tired. You know why? The distance was about 100 miles. Now, me and Eli walked through the park and probably do about 3 miles when we're able to walk, when the weather was a bit warmer. And that's like enough for me. Hopefully I'll get to more. Could you imagine walking 100 miles in sandals? I'm sure his legs were very sore, his feet were sore. Traveling by car would have taken about 2 hours. Imagine walking that distance. It seems like it must have been a very tiring, stressful trip. If they were traveling at night, it could have been very damp and cold. Maybe it rained during the trip, you don't know, to make things worse. The trip was very difficult for Joseph and especially Mary. Mary was told that she was highly favored of the Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 28 reads, "And the angel Gabriel, the messenger angel, came in unto her and said, Hail, that thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." You would think that with a salutation like this, there would not have been any difficulties. Yet look how she suffered. She could have thought if I'm highly favored, why is this journey so difficult? Highly favored? Look what's happening to me and my fiancé. But we know that Mary was not the type to complain according to what is written in the Gospel of Luke. When the angel Gabriel spoke to her about the birth of Jesus, her response was, and this is Luke 1:38, it says, "And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word.'" Mary and Joseph accepted the circumstances that God allowed them to pass through. Sometimes we complain about it a lot less. Why this trial? Why this difficulty? Why did the Lord permit this in my life? I said it to the Lord when I had between cancers. I just finished. I'll admit, I complained to the Lord. I just was recovering from prostate cancer, and a month later I find out I have tongue cancer. Never smoked, but I had tongue cancer. And I said to the Lord, I griped to the Lord. I said, "I just got over prostate cancer, now I have tongue cancer?" And the Lord answered in my mind, "I'm giving you a testimony." And he sure did. But I griped to the Lord. We do that from time to time. You know, why this trial? Why this difficulty? You know, God can do everything. So why did he permit this event in my life if he could do everything? But Mary and Joseph accepted the will of God in their life. They may have been thinking, "When will we arrive? This journey is long." Mary and Joseph probably thought that they could find a comfortable place to rest when they got to Bethlehem. And when they do arrive, they get rejected by the innkeeper. After a long 100-mile trip like that, they thought, "Oh, we could finally rest. We're tired. Mary is 9 months. We could find a place just to sit down and rest." And what happens? They get rejected by the innkeeper. We can be sure that by this time, Mary was having contractions and she and Joseph were still rejected by the innkeeper. They had to go to a nearby shepherd's cave. After all that travel, they had to go to a shepherd's cave. The heart, inconsiderate heart of the innkeeper to refuse a woman who was about to give birth. I mean, you couldn't miss it. 9 months pregnant, he knew that she was about to give birth. You go to the cave in the back, heartless. The innkeeper could have been known as the man who gave accommodations to the birth of the Son of God. But Mary and Joseph got rejected. Mary could have thought, "This too, now we get rejected. Highly favored? This long trip wasn't long enough? It wasn't enough? Now I get rejected by the innkeeper?" But Mary didn't complain. She accepted the will of God in her life. How often do we complain to the Lord about much less? There was Mark verse 7. "And she gave birth to the firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Key words over there, two words. There was no room for them in the inn. There would have been room for a couple who was well-dressed and who appeared to have money and could have tipped the innkeeper well. But Joseph and Mary were poor and didn't appear to have money, so there was no room for them in the inn. Mary and Joseph, on their journey, had already passed King Herod's palace, but they would not have been welcome there. Now they come to an inn, but they're not welcome there either. So Jesus was born in the shepherd's cave. What was the scenery like? I can tell you it's nothing like what you see on Christmas cards today. These caves were very dirty. Let's talk about the cave for a bit. Caves were very dirty. layers of manure were on the ground from centuries of sheep staying there. We use processed manure in our gardens, so there was no smell. The manure in these caves was not processed, so the smell was most likely unbearable. I know this sounds gross, but I'm making a point. Soot was on the ceiling from the shepherd's fires used to generate heat. The manger was a dirty feeding trough used by sheep. All the sheep's saliva was in there. These mangers were made of stone. I saw one when I was in Israel. It was not a soft, sanitary bassinet like we see today. Nothing was sanitary in this cave. This was the most important delivery of a baby in history. God became flesh. But consider the conditions in which Jesus was born. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 informs us that Jesus humbled himself. Okay, thank you, Matt. It's up on the screen. Okay. Jesus humbled himself. From the heights of glory, the throne of God, surrounded by angels, to a dirty manger in putrid, unsanitary conditions. This was how the Son of God came into the world. I want to repeat that. It's so important. From the heights of glory, the throne of God, surrounded by angels, to a dirty, smelly manger in putrid, unsanitary conditions. This is how the Son of God came into the world. Infinite, indescribable, mind-boggling love of God. Another portion, another gospel says Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know what swaddling clothes were? Strips of cloth. That's what Jesus was wrapped in, strips of cloth. He did not have quality clothes from an upscale department store. No one gave Mary a baby shower. Jesus went from royal clothing as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the throne of God to strips of cloth. He didn't even have clothing. We in the Western world tend to sanitize the manger scene. It wasn't what you see on Christmas cards. Jesus went from the heights, the highest glory, honor, majesty, worship at the throne of God to a dirty feeding trough in a manure-laden cave. Why? For us. For us. Do you see why we always say at this church, it's Jesus, 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 and more Jesus? They don't come like him. Why? For us. For our salvation. When Jesus came, it was the dawn of redeeming grace. The dawn of redeeming grace had occurred with the birth of Jesus. Infinite, mind-boggling love of God. He knew what his life would be like, and he still came to earth. That were me, I would have asked God the Father for plan B. Jesus didn't. He accepted it all, knowing what he was going to face. He knew his life would be constant suffering, culminating in the scourging, the crucifixion, and he still came. Considering the sufferings of Jesus, we can never say that he doesn't understand what we are going through. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 reads, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." That's why we could come to him in prayer. He knows what it feels like. Jesus was not forced to come to earth. God the Father wasn't over him saying, "You have to go." You have to go. It wasn't over with a whip. Jesus came of his own will. How do we know that? Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, your law is within my heart. Jesus came willingly. What about our trials? The events leading up to the birth of Jesus show the path that God chose for Mary and Joseph. The journey was very difficult and harsh. We read about the conditions chosen for Jesus coming into the world. Jesus was not born in sanitary conditions with the controlled environment that children are born in these days. As we said, the cave was very dirty and I'm sure germ-ridden. You think of how the newborns are protected today in controlled environments and so forth, controlled temperature, controlled humidity. Jesus was born in a dirty, stinking cage that was germ-ridden. The cave could have been damp and cold also. You see babies wrapped up in nice cloth. Jesus was in swaddling clothes. I wonder if it was enough to even keep him warm. Sometimes we complain about the path that the Lord has chosen for our lives. Why do I have to go through certain events in life? Why this difficulty? Why the severity of certain trials? God could have made my path easier with less valleys, obstacles, and hardships. The Lord could have chosen an easier plan for Mary and Joseph. Jesus certainly did not have an easy path in life. He suffered all his life, with the sufferings culminating in the scourging and the crucifixion. Isaiah 53, verses 3 to 5. He is despised. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded or pierced through for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. God permits difficulties and trials to purify us and to remove from our lives what is not of his will or what should not be in our lives. He wants to make us into vessels of honor. He permits the trials and the difficulties to prepare us to enter heaven. Even though we pass through trials and difficulties in life, we have an assurance from the Lord that we will not be alone in these trying times. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Jesus will never leave us alone. During our trials, we need to remind ourselves that God makes no mistakes. If you wonder why we're in the trial, why is it so severe, remember that God makes no mistakes. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 read, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are made partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. The Lord does not permit the trial so he can watch us squirm. Out of love, he is perfecting us for his kingdom. The Lord, in his justice and faithfulness, will never permit more than you could handle, more than you could endure. One day, whether in this life or the next, we will know why the Lord allows certain events in our lives. I want to read the words of an old hymn which put things in perspective. Name of the hymn is "Sometime We'll Understand." It says, "Not now, but in the coming years, it may be in the better land. We'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. We'll catch the broken thread again, and finish what we here began. Heaven will the mysteries explain, and then, ah then, we'll understand. We'll know why clouds instead of sun were over many a cherished plan. Why song has ceased when scarce begun. 'Tis there sometime we'll understand. God knows the way, he holds the key. He guides us with unerring hand. Sometime with tearless eyes we'll see. Yes, there, up there, we'll understand." And the chorus goes on to read, "Then trust in God through all the days. Fear not, for he does hold your hand. Though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime, sometime, we'll understand. God patiently works in us so that one day his image will be seen in us and not our own image. People don't need and should not see our image. They need to see Jesus in us. We want to be like Mary and Joseph and accept the will of God in our lives. We want to accept the work of the Lord in our lives, even if things get difficult. God makes no mistakes. The Lord wants to make us vessels of honor, fit for his work and fit for his kingdom."